Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors, Alec Medford. Mike is in Italy for the week. He will be back next Tuesday, and I don't know. I might need some help. What are y'all mad about today? 877-881-1053. Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube, because Bobby and Sean were really going after each other. And I told Alec and Corey, I don't think I'm mad enough to start this show. And the closest I saw to it was some BS national poll that M&Ms are the most popular Halloween candy. In what universe is that the case?
That's definitely the last one I'll take of all the chocolate candies. Okay, like I think the last thing is that one, it's like just orange. It's wrapped in orange and black, and then the little strawberry thing that looks like a strawberry, yes, and nobody knows the name.
Exactly.
Like those you just leave in the bottom of the bag. Or the Bit O' Honey. Nobody wants Bit O' Honey.
I don't even know if I've ever had that.
But yeah, you look it up, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's the one I always throw away out of the bag. But the regular M&Ms are, there's something that you're like, okay, there's nothing else, I'll eat that one.
And it overtook the Reese's Cups. Like,
that is foul.
What are we doing here?
Oh yeah, Bit O' Honey. Yeah, those, no.
So if you guys want to get involved in that conversation,
Reese's Cups are fine.
Oh my goodness,
they're fine.
But you think they're better than M&M's, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take it over M&M's.
All right. In the meantime, we are going to go back through some of the Cowboys stuff and also power rank the power rankings. Would you like to go back to the Cowboys first, talk more candy, or power rank it up?
I guess power ranking, Kevin. We could do that. Okay. Or we could do Cowboys if you want to.
You sound,
we could do candy. I'm into candy.
Okay.
I like candy.
All right, real quick, I'll tell you the top 10.
There's a song called Sex and Candy.
That's by Marcy
that
Playground.
That is.
Yes, if you're a kid of the late 90s.
Who's Marcy?
That was huge. M&M's 1, Reese's Cups 2, Sour Patch Kids, Skittles, Starburst 5, Hot Tamales, this will be controversial, Candy Corn at number 7, Hershey's Kisses, Hershey's Mini Bars, and Butterfinger is number 10.
Candy corn's terrible, for one.
Disagree.
Did you say peanut M&Ms anywhere?
Nope.
Did you say Almond Joy anywhere?
Yeah.
Milky Way? Yeah. Snickers?
M&Ms.
Butterfinger?
Which is just plain chocolate. Hershey's Kisses, Hershey's Mini Bars. So if it's chocolate with something else, they're like, we don't
Three
support
chocolates.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't support that. We only like plain chocolate. But chocolate is delicious. All right. Cowboys.
I've heard of them.
That's good. I'm very excited about that. All right. There were a couple of other things I wanted to go through about the Cowboys yesterday. Specifically, I wanted to talk about this one thing. If you look at the Steelers through the first three quarters, one of the things that the defense was doing amazingly was putting them in third and long situations. The Steelers through the first three quarters were 1-for-8 on third down, which, you'll take that every day if you're the defense. But more importantly, you know what their average third to go was?
12.
Okay, they didn't play
9.
That well. 7.3.
Oh, okay.
So on the average third down situation, the Cowboys were giving up 2.7 yards in the first two downs combined.
Yeah.
They were doing an exceedingly better job with, didn't you feel like any time a run play was called, like there was a time that the Steelers were like, oh, it's 3rd and 8, let's run the ball. And I was like, I could see how that would work in the past, but it felt like you would get all these chunk plays on 1st and 2nd down against the Cowboys defense. I don't think the Steelers offense is great. This felt like another nice sign after the Giants game.
Yes, it definitely did. The, you know, And there will be people out there that are like, the Steelers' offensive line's terrible. Y'all were talking about that leading into the game. You're right about that.
Agreed.
Too. Cowboys' defensive line was miserable up until 2 weeks ago. Like, that's, they started to look better. And if you're listening to Rex Ryan, he's saying they put a damn good plan together. They had the right one. He was like, they beat the hell out of the Steelers. Kevin, you're pointing this out. On first down, there were a lot of runs. And on those runs, it felt like not negative yards, but zero to short yards.
Yeah.
And then what happened on the next thing, it would be they're dropping back to pass. And not that there were sacks, but it felt like negative yards there. So it did feel like they weren't. Or incompletions, because Justin Fields wasn't good enough to complete the pass that's necessary. So that's where two of those things, I think those things combined in first and second down, really failed the Steelers. And that's where the Cowboys were able to help and take advantage of that by keeping them. I have some numbers that I want to dive into there, Kevin. I appreciate you bringing this up, because on third down, the Cowboys were really, really bad away on third down. And they were really good this week against them there. So I'll find those numbers and get after it.
There was another contingent of plays that I thought were fantastic. Tyrus Wheat made a defensive stop. And then Tyrus Wheat and Chauncey Golston teamed up for another defensive stop. And then Jordan Lewis had the pass breakup on the next play to force a punt. So you think about it, and I tell you, you're going to have a defensive sequence against any team that is going to feature Tyrus Wheat, Chauncey Golston, and Jordan Lewis, and that's going to force the punt. That might feel a little unfair. Jordan Lewis is, like, you know, a more well-known commodity. But my point is, with all those injuries, it was Wheat, Golston, and Jordan Lewis, boom, 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 on one drive that forced the punt. Yeah. And that's what you need in this instance. That's what you're going to need for probably a couple of weeks.
Well, and you know, Kevin, to add to that, that's what you needed when you had DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah.
That's
and
a good point.
All your healthy people too, but they weren't able to get it done. A lot of it.
That is a very good point.
Had to do with the two people that were playing in the middle. And that was a big part of, hey man, it's not working yet. Whatever you guys are doing, that's where the hub started. The guys in the middle have been playing better, and that's helping everybody else out on the outside. By the way, I'm sorry about that. Cowboys are one of the best defensive units on third down conversions at 32%.
Is fantastic.
They're third best on the road 23% of the time. Nobody's getting there. And Pittsburgh defensively seventh worst at home.
Okay.
So far.
Interesting. So. Now, Candy always seems to spark an argument. These two texts came in literally 15 seconds apart. For the 214, Candy Corn is the undisputed worst. From the 972, candy corn is the number one Halloween candy. Wedged in between them, Sixlets. I don't know.
Sixlets are amazing.
I agreed. I don't know how familiar.
They're better than
the public. M&Ms. Yes. I don't know how much the public is familiar with the Sixlet, how often you see it in the grocery store or whatever. The Sixlet is awesome. And from the 214, peanut butter M&Ms are goated. I think peanut butter M&Ms and peanut M&Ms are significantly better than regular M&Ms.
Yes. Peanut butter M&Ms. Dude, you know what I had recently?
Peanut butter
pecan
M&Ms?
Snickers.
Oh.
Pecan Snickers.
You're lying.
No, I definitely had one, Alec.
What a low-level thing to lie about.
Definitely had one, and it is fantastic. If you like pecan, and if you're from Texas, you should, because that's the Texas tree, then you need to you need to try this out. It is really good. If you don't like pecan, then move to another state.
From the
See you guys later.
3-2-1. People are trying to encourage us to get mad as well. I'm mad that they're raising the Mega Millions to $5. I'm already poor.
Yeah, and now you're making me to try and get rich. You're making me more poor?
And from the 904, great. You just pissed my wife off. She loves Bit Oh Honey.
Bit Oh Honey's terrible. Your wife can...
Hey, leave them alone. Congratulations on your 60th anniversary as well, I'm assuming.
Oh.
If your wife loves Bit Oh Honey. That's not okay. I'm just kidding. Look, I have all kinds of food takes that are unpopular. Don't worry about me. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Deep into that purse, and she was like, oh, this is the last one I have left.
We're just kidding.
Probably as old as me.
It's been sitting in that dish tray in the house next to the recliner for a long time.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to power rank the power rankings? Or I feel like you want to talk about this more, but let's power rank the power rankings.
That'll make me angry.
We'll get back to Candy. All right. You have three options. NFL.com, The Athletic, or ESPN. Those are your options.
I'm letting Alec roll with this one, man. I always make the wrong choice.
ESPN doesn't make me happy, and I want to be angry like the morning show, so let's do it.
Okay.
Is that what the Tolos want from us today, is us to be angry like the morning show was? Is that what they need from us today? Because we can do it.
Why don't you shut up?
That's fake.
Okay. I gave it a
shot. That was fake.
I gave it a shot. All right. I gave it a shot.
I know when Kevin's really mad at me.
That is true. All right. Maybe we'll tell the story.
After the show.
Maybe we'll tell the story about the one time that I thought Corey might punch me in the hallway. All right. The worst three teams in the league. Who do you think are the worst three teams in the league?
Carolina
is the second worst team in the league.
The team that can't block for their quarterback, New England.
The New England Patriots are 32nd. So it goes New England, Carolina. But who gets that coveted third spot among the worst teams in football?
Your turn, Alec.
I'm torn between two.
Okay.
I want to go Tennessee Titans.
What was your other choice?
My other choice was going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey.
They won.
I got good news and bad news. The good news is you are going to be wrong either way.
Oh.
The bad news is...
See, I told you, I hate ESPN.
You're wrong.
Jeez.
Cleveland is 30. However,
that's
Alec...
That's real mad right there. I can see it.
Jacksonville is 29 and the Titans are 28. So you're not too far off.
You're very close.
You knew the worst five.
Story of my life.
But the Cleveland Browns are like, hey, don't forget about us. They are number 30 on the list. Now,
presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We go to the top of the chart. Who is number one in all of the lands? I'm going to warn
Cowboys.
You. This is a real poll, and it's not going to be a BS team, all right, like M&M's. It's going to be a real team that's probably should be number one or definitely should only be number two.
Kansas City still
the
has
Kansas
to be number
one. City Chiefs were victorious. They are number one in the entire world of the United States of football.
That's impressive.
Yes, it is. Alec, there's a lot of pressure on you. You really screwed it up last time.
No.
Can you get the number two team on the list?
In honor of the now gone Mike Bassick, Sammy D and the Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings are number two. So the two undefeated teams remaining in football, Kansas City is one, Minnesota is two. Who else makes the top five?
Stroud and the boys.
CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans are number three on the board. Now, by the way, Nico Collins is described as week to week, which is pretty much a similar outcome that we heard for Micah Parsons. So expect him to potentially miss a game or two. Alec?
How about the team that we are welcoming to AT&T Stadium this Sunday, the Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions are number four. So you guys have gotten one, two, three, and four in order. Can you get number five to finish this out? And then start thinking about where the Cowboys should be.
I'm torn, and I don't know exactly. Alec, let's decide this one together. It's either Washington, or, in my opinion, it should be Baltimore. Baltimore's been on a tear. So it's one, in my opinion, one of those two teams. Because Washington's 4-1. But I feel like they started so low that they're still not up in the top, in that top area.
I know how to help. Alec, one of those answers is correct.
There you go, 50%.
Pressure. I think you're right, Corey. I think that Baltimore has shown they're the more consistent, and they started off higher, and I feel like they're actually looking how they're supposed to now, whereas Washington is still like, okay, can they keep it up? So give me Baltimore.
Baltimore, number five on the list. By the way, Washington is number seven behind the Bills.
Okay.
So You know the top seven.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that either. Where would you put the Cowboys in the mix here? So you know they're not in the top seven. They're not in the bottom five. So that's still a pretty wide area.
I feel like when they win a couple of games, they go back into the top 10. So I'm going to say 10 or 11.
Okay.
So one of those two spots.
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to say, because of the national spotlight, they're going to get 10, and I don't necessarily agree with it.
Okay, where would you put them then?
I'd say more like 12, 13-ish, just because they still looked a lot like the same team that I think they are, but they got the win. So they should be better, but I don't think they're a top 10 team right now. I think they're right outside.
Now, you guys are smart fellas when it comes to ESPN. There is a lot of variation for the Cowboys in these power rankings. So they're number 10 in the ESPN power rankings.
Okay.
But I wanted to throw this out there just so you can kind of see some of the variance. For The Athletic, they're number 9. And then for NFL, they're number 13. So there's a pretty decent sized gap about between 9 and 13 of where they are. I think I'm with you guys. I would be more inclined to slide them closer to 13. Like 12 or 13 feels probably about the right spot to me, as opposed to 9 or 10. Right. That just feels too high.
Who would you have in front of them if they're 12, 13? Would you have the Eagles in front of them right now?
I would not.
Okay. Packers? Would you have the Packers in front of them right now?
Okay, I'm actually going to say a team with a worse record at the risk of getting crushed, and I hope I'm wrong about this. I would say the Packers, but I would also say the 49ers. I know the 49ers seem like they're in a funk, but
I wanted to have a cordial show today. Okay. It's just pissing me off.
No, it shouldn't piss you off.
You just beat... Oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. We just beat his team, the Steelers. Now he's upset trying to take shots at the Niners.
I was very excited that the Cowboys defeated the Steelers. Absolutely. This is one I was not prepared for. From the 214, the best Halloween candy is eye candy. Now, I have two questions.
I took a harassment class.
Oh, okay.
I can't talk about
but
that.
But see, that was going to be my question. Do you mean pretty people to look at? Mm. Or do you mean that weird gelatin eye thing that you get like in a pack of things that you're like, nobody wants this? I'm assuming you mean pretty people to look at, but I just want a clarification. And
dude,
the text has started to come in from the 214. Bit O' Honey is awesome. Y'all are crazy. 972. I love Bit O' Honey, so you could shut up.
I'll tell you, I think Werther's is the most ridiculous claim
in the history of baseball.
Werther's is better than Bit O' Honey. Werther's is fantastic.
I do agree.
Have you had the Werther's, the hard candy that has the soft Werther's inside of it? Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
And then I assume this is a carryover from Crosstalk. Why is everyone screaming angry sounds? I feel like this one.
Noises!
From the 903. Kevin, your favorite candy is probably Rolls. You don't get a say.
Rolos are awesome.
No, Rolls.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're making fun of the Thanksgiving. It's the Reese's Pumpkin is the best Halloween candy. But I will tell you this so people can be angry.
It's Milky Way.
I like candy corn, and I also like Halloween Peeps. So go ahead and direct your ire.
Peeps are disgusting.
You're disgusting for saying that.
Peeps into the ocean, and then they'll inflate because they absorb all the water, and then it's just gross.
That'd be cool.
If Tom Hanks would have just had a couple of packs of Peeps, he could have gotten off that island way sooner. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I will ask you all the football and maybe more candy question next right here on The Fan.
Prescott back. Has time. Deep to the middle. Got a man. Turpin at the 25. And taken down at the 20-yard line.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan. I'm going to ask you all of the football questions. This is a follow-up hurtful exchange between one of our Tolos and Corey. It's fair, though. From the 254. Oh, my word, Kevin. Did Corey? There's no E in Corey. Force you to say that about candy corn and Peeps because you lost a bet. Corey, your response?
No, that's his real opinion. I'm always so disappointed. And then they replied, LOL, and damn it, Corey, I'm sorry I keep throwing that damn E in your name. It happens all the time.
That is some top-notch work that person is doing.
I do have a question just to the Tolos out there. Two questions I've been like really considering. One of them I've been really considering. The other one I just came up with. If we did an entire show and only talked about candy for the day, would you stick around and have fun with us?
Oh, my gosh.
And would the bosses be upset? Like, why did y'all talk sports? Or would you be like, you know what? This was the best because we just talked candy and BS'd all day. And secondly, if we just did an interview with Jerry Jones and just shot the S with him, instead of asking him anything about the Cowboys, would you be more entertained? Or would you be like, no, I really had some serious stuff I wanted to get out of Jerry Jones?
The beat reporters would be so pissed. I think it would be amazing.
They wouldn't credit us anymore.
By the way, if we do that candy show, one of my topics is going to be, is Score the best ripoff candy? Where they're like, hey, Heath is popular. Let's make the exact same candy and sell it under a different name. Because it is delicious. All right. I'm going to ask you all of the football questions, or as many as I can. Will the Cowboys make the playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, Alec?
I say yes, and I probably won't be too thrilled with the result.
I think Washington is going to win the division.
Okay.
I think there will not be another repeat winner in the division this year.
Okay.
But I think they do just well enough to get in as a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
So they are. And they will be later in the season, unless there's a significant injury that really does derail the whole season. And I think Dak's the only one that I can see being that. And that's the history of the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
As long as their quarterback's healthy, they're a pretty damn good team. Not good enough, though. Unless there's an injury to your quarterback, I think you're going to be in the playoffs. He's good enough to get you there.
From the 7850 football questions to Jerry, because he doesn't really answer the questions anyway, that's fair. If you have a question you really need answered, you need to be prepared to ask it multiple times. And then do the candy conversation for Peace-a-thon. Look, we got 13 hours. We could probably figure it out.
Yeah, a whole day of that. I would love it.
Now, this is going to sound like a dicey question. Hear me out. In this moment, right now, who would you rather have as your New York quarterback, Aaron Rodgers or Daniel Jones?
I'll say Aaron Rodgers just because of the mental experience. Daniel Jones can't throw a deep ball.
Hey, Daniel Jones threw for 257 yards and 2 touchdowns and beat the Seahawks without his best receiver. Aaron Rodgers got his coach fired.
That's great. Daniel Jones can't throw a deep ball. When he throws the ball in the air, like up in the air, it just hangs there forever. That's going, any team that understands that they're not scared of that will be fine. Malik Nabers is fantastic. That's great and everything. But if you're not afraid of the deep ball from Daniel Jones, you make that field so much smaller. I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers has the arm to do the same thing anymore. His deep balls right now are what you're like, man, he's missing. Times when he used to be so accurate with those passes 20 yards downfield, he's not anymore.
Now, Alec, he did not care for my question, thought it was a slam dunk answer. Do you agree that football question was stupid?
No, because I think I would lean the opposite way. I think I'd go Daniel Jones for this season and probably this season only because, if anything else, football IQ and actual on-the-field product aside, it seems like his teammates actually like him. And he doesn't get Brian Daboll fired yet.
Yep.
So for right now, I'm just going to take the guy that at least has the locker room for right now. And, you know, his head coach isn't scared of him, and rightfully so. So I think you at least have fun playing football as the Giants with Daniel Jones. With Aaron Rodgers, I feel like everybody's got a target on their back, or maybe they feel like that.
Now, my next question, is the Brandon Ayuk preseason over? All right, so going into Sunday's game, he had 167 yards receiving through 4 games.
Okay.
In the game on Sunday, he had 8 catches for 147 yards. Is this the beginning of him turning it up and his preseason is over?
I think, sure.
Oh.
Deebo Samuel, fully healthy, is their number one receiver. Brandon Ayuk benefits the most from it. I was very surprised that Ayuk was actually, snagging some of the passes that were coming his way because he struggled so much so early in the season. But again, we discussed yesterday, Brock Purdy had his best first half of the whole season so far. So that was nice to see too for them. I'll say that it's over, that he's finally kind of gotten some of his rhythm with his quarterback, and he's gotten his, you know, McCarthy keeps talking about the physical part of being a receiver, physical balance and catching and adjusting to being, you know, pushed around while also trying to catch the ball. So maybe it does take a little bit of timing for something like that.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there from the 817 because this question came in. We actually asked Steven a variation of this question yesterday. Do y'all kind of feel like the Cowboys offensive players think they don't have to try really hard at all and kind of half-ass it because we have a kicker that can make it from 70 yards? So our variation of that question was, do you think the play calls get any more conservative knowing that you can kick a field goal pretty much by the time you get to midfield? Steven Jones did not agree with that assertion, so we did ask that.
I do wonder, because if it was conservative, are you just running the ball on third down to get better position to kick the field goal?
Yeah.
I do wonder if it makes you more aggressive in times, and you're like, we can try to push it downfield.
Because we don't have to advance past the 45.
Yeah, because we're fine. If it's an incomplete pass, it's an incomplete pass.
Okay.
But I'm not necessarily putting anything over the middle that could be intercepted, you know, those kinds of things. So I wonder that sometimes.
Okay. Do enough people properly appreciate Kyren Williams?
No.
So Kyren Williams, he's tied for the league lead in touchdowns. He scored a touchdown in 8 straight regular season games. I know this year his yards per carry average is not doing particularly well thus far, but do you think people appreciate Kyren Williams, who was awesome last year?
No. I think people were like interested in the story of him, but that team also is kind of in flux too.
Yeah, they're not good.
So Kevin, this is the MVP on a bad team, and
okay,
how that person doesn't get the respect, you know, like that they deserve.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because your team record is a lot of times goes hand in hand with your status there. So I think that's one of the things right now. They're not as good of a team as they should be.
Do you think that the Browns players are just tired of blocking for Deshaun Watson? Now, I know that's an inflammatory question. Hear me out. Deshaun Watson has been sacked 26 times this season. That is the most in the league. After he got sacked 7 times by the Commanders on Sunday. In the last 3 games, he's been sacked 18 times. So 8, 3, and 7 in those last 3 games. Do you think the Cleveland Brown players are just tired of working for Deshaun Watson?
Oh, man, that's interesting. Oh, yes. They also could be tired of being in Cleveland.
Fair.
But add to this, the run game isn't the same without Nick Chubb. That threat of Nick Chubb being there and in being part of the running game takes that pressure off of Deshaun Watson, takes that pressure off the offensive line, because we were just discussing how often Pittsburgh was in third and long situations. And I think it would be, when you know there's no threat of Nick Chubb taking off on a third down, then you're like, all right, pin our ears back and get to the quarterback. So I do think there's something to be said about what's missing, but Deshaun Watson hasn't given them anything to write home about either.
Now, Alec, you seemed taken aback when I asked this question. What say you?
Put Watson down now.
Okay, oh Terry God. Bradshaw, that I know what me. You think.
It wasn't me. But I do think, yes, that this team is just kind of soured on their quarterback because they have a backup that always gets the locker room. So I feel like they just see the energy that another guy can bring because, look, they know that offense is not great.
Sure.
The offensive line is not good. Amari Cooper looks like he doesn't love football again, if that ever changed. Jerry Jeudy looks overrated as ever. He dropped a wide open touchdown for Deshaun Watson this past week. So I think that some of these guys just don't really feel motivated. And whether it's directly and only Deshaun Watson, that's up to them to decide. And I don't think that's the case. I think it's just kind of a conglomerate of everything that's happening there. Like Corey said, just playing in Cleveland alone, not great. Knowing that the team itself is struggling on top of, hey, we've got a weirdo quarterback that isn't playing good. So I think you hit the nail on the head.
All right. My next football question. He could retire today. Is Derrick Henry an absolute lock for the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
So I wanted to throw this out there. Derrick Henry is only the 5th player ever to reach 10,000 yards and score 100 touchdowns in their first 125 games. Here are the other ones. This is pretty good class to be in. Adrian Peterson, LaDainian Tomlinson, Emmett Smith, and Jim Brown. And he just crossed the 10,000 career rushing yard threshold. He's the 32nd running back in NFL history to do that. He has back-to-back running rushing titles. Every other running back who's ever done that is in the Hall of Fame. Now, you quickly said yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Alec?
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about what he's done in 9 seasons, 4 Pro Bowls, Offensive Player of the Year even. He averages almost 5 yards a carry on his career.
That's crazy.
Which is wild to think, and over 81 yards per game in his career. And that was with some Tennessee teams as well. Yeah. And that's with some injuries bugging him as well. So he's a lock. He should be. If he's not, I'm going to be really confused.
The thing that will just clamp it down, Super Bowl title.
Absolutely.
Like that'll be the one that you go, all right, there. He has all the credentials.
Yeah. Okay. And then my last football question for you today, are you starting to see why Caleb Williams went number one? All right. Now, I know Jaden Daniels has taken over, but every game since week 2, Caleb Williams' passer rating has gone up. And this last week, when they destroyed the Panthers, 126.2. So that's a career best. So you say yes pretty straight away?
Yes.
I mean, I understand Jaden Daniels. I'm not knocking Jaden Daniels whatsoever. This is more just about Caleb.
I'm actually, with the Jaden Daniels conversation, I'm less surprised about Jaden Daniels and how he looks.
Yeah.
More surprised about Cliff Kingsbury's offense just being as good as it is right now. But
okay.
I guess that pairs well with the quarterback being as good as he is. From what I watched in college, I was like, I love this quarterback. He's going to be awesome. Caleb Williams, I still have some thoughts on OU quarterbacks and Lincoln Riley specific quarterbacks because of the way the system's built for their success and how that doesn't transition a lot of times to the NFL because they don't treat them the same. But yeah, I absolutely think that that's coming along. His escapability, his ability to throw the ball downfield.
You're seeing special traits, but you're also starting to see the glimmers of this is a guy you can win because of and not with.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see that. Obviously, it's going to take some time because Chicago is not exactly a winning team right now and a postseason hopeful, but they will be with him. He absolutely looks like a number one pick.
And by the way, for people asking, Eric Chiafalo is at the Lowe's on Chalk Hill in Dallas for the next 23 minutes or so. If you want to pick up a free G-Bag Whataburger-based flag, go to the Lowe's on Chalk Hill in Dallas. Now, Corey, this is a dicey question. We have a couple of really amazing shout-outs, but it is Tuesday. What say you?
Let's revisit them.
Okay.
And then and see if we can get them later in the show.
All right. We will find that out as well as baseball buckets with Corey Majors.
Oh, my gosh. Those Royals, Kevin. They just keep hanging around. Next on the Fan.
2-2, Sweeney takes off, fly ball, right field. This one's deep. Going back is Brennan. He's looking up, and it's gone! Oh, man! Kerry Carpenter with 2 outs in the ninth. A 3-run bomb, and the Tigers take the lead 3-0.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you've missed some of the news of the day, the Jets have fired Robert Saleh. And then, Corey, you said the Mavs have a front office change coming up.
Yeah, Sip Marshall has announced her retirement. She will retire December 31st of 2024. She will continue to consult through 2025, so the end of December in 2025. And, Kevin, you asked, she's been around since February of 2018, so that's a significant amount of time.
Okay, so almost 7 years by the time she retires?
Yeah, she came in and cleaned this whole thing up.
That's
right. Not a single problem since.
I mean,
it is interesting, though, the timing of a lot of this. Mark Cuban sells the team. She's retiring. There's a lot going on with, you know, questions about the Vegas ownership. I know there's a lot of concerns here, Kevin. My thing is, I do not see a reason that the NBA would say, take a basketball team out of the top 5 market.
It's not going to happen.
Top 4 market in the country.
It will not.
And move them elsewhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, if it did, I'd be shocked, surprised, bewildered, baffled. Any word you want to find.
Flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted, yes, all of them. So that is exactly how I feel about that.
Now, Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors.
And Buckets Nuggets brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Kevin, before we get to Buckets, the YouTube is currently having a discussion of all of our salaries. I think a lot of them are incorrect. Maybe Woolchucks is right, but a lot of them are incorrect on what they think. That they said, Peyton makes $500,000 a year. That one's a joke and incorrect. But some of them are.
Somebody said I only make $6,500 for the year. Oh, that's tough. I need to work harder.
$65,000.
Oh, okay. I thought it said $6,500. I was like, that sucks.
How would you get?
If that's your full-time job for the year and you only get $6,500, that's not enough.
You're going to have to work another job.
That's right.
How do you buy all those cars?
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
So you can catch me at Cheddar's as a server. No, that's my son.
Which Cheddar's?
Off of Bush in Garland.
So hold on. If I go into Cheddar's off Bush in Garland and ask, where's Brandon? I can sit down at his table. Should I have said that?
Yeah.
And tip him magnificently?
You can. We've heard some mixed reviews about him as a server.
Oh, no. Is he one of those? Oh, man.
Look, he's just told me some things that I'm like, that's a normal thing that people do. He goes, yeah, this one table, they wanted a lemonade and a water. Like, God. And I was just like, that's a normal thing that people do at restaurants.
Yeah, it does happen. I want to hear more of those stories off air because I'm really looking forward to that. Thank you, Chuck Morgan, for the announcement, by the way. I really appreciate that. As always, Chuck Morgan is one of the best around. Go ahead, Kevin.
Shameless Peace-a-thon plug. We have a Chuck Morgan auction package, of which he will provide you with 4 tickets to the Rangers game, and you will get to hang out with him for 1 inning during the game.
That's awesome. You see how he does his job.
There you go.
Which inning would you choose? Because it feels like you want to be there for it's baseball time in Texas.
Yeah.
You also want to be there for the 7th inning stretch. It feels like that's always a good time to be there.
See, I feel like I would pick the 3rd inning because we have a late arriving crowd at times. But by the 3rd inning, most people should be there and the energy's still high. Because you might get like the 5th or 6th and it's 10-2. If you're losing, then you're like, well. So I feel like I can get people in on what I'm doing in the 3rd inning.
All right, so first question to kind of start this conversation. Every single one of the series right now in the Major League Baseball playoffs is tied at 1-1. Go ahead.
I was going to say, something I don't like thus far is the space between some of these series. Like, I know we're going to talk about the Royals, but they took a break between game 1 and game 2, even though they were both in New York. And so you had game 1, day off. Game 2, day off. Game 3, like that's not the way.
What's happening on day off, though?
This day off, they will travel.
But no, what's happening on day off? National League.
Yeah,
So it seems like they're just saying, we're going to give American League time, National League time, American League time, National League time. You want all 4 games on the same day?
At least 3 of them based on your travel schedule, because that's the way baseball, that's the way baseball go. Like, you don't get all of these days off.
That makes sense. Which one are you, like, have you been like, man, this one is titillating?
I'm right really interested in the Dodgers Padres.
Yeah, that one, because that's 2 teams with 90 wins, 90 plus wins that you're like, they are dominant. And as Mike pointed out last week, the Padres are on they've warmed up. And the Dodgers are the best team. So, like, that's a real rivalry.
And I kind of wonder if the Padres have the Dodgers number. So
maybe they do.
Yeah.
And that could be bad for Dave Roberts, because everybody's always looking for a reason to fire him.
That would be very bad for Dave Roberts.
Last night, as you just heard from the audio that we came back with, it was Carpenter that hit the 3-run bomb. Now, Kevin, this is a question to you.
Oh.
You wanted Emmanuel Clase.
Yes.
So bad on this team.
He beefed it yesterday.
And he gave up the 3-run bomb. He gave up 4 hits, 3 earned runs. He had 1 strikeout, but it was the 4 out attempt that he was trying to do there. Goes, gets an out, comes back, and he's trying to get the 3 outs to finish it and doesn't. They end up losing the game. The Tigers are now up. Do you stand strong for a guy that gave up only 5 runs all year long? that you would still stick with this guy? Because this is the question of, do I throw that dude back out? Yes, you throw that dude back out there, right?
Yeah, I think this is the first earned run he gave up since August. Yeah. So
it's insane.
I'm going to be like, you know what? Go out there.
See, and that's when Leclerc, we were always nervous about Leclerc during the playoffs. But then he'd do something and you're like, man, I think he's got it. And then he gives up a home run. You're like, I don't know. Did he lose it again? I don't know if that I have that same concern for Class A, but he's still that dude for you, the number one closer in the game for you.
He's fantastic.
You'd give up Jack Leiter and Rocker and Wyatt Langford for him.
I mean, we gave him up for way less.
Yeah, we did. Who did we get? We got Kluber?
Yeah. How did that go?
One inning.
So there you
go. Did he even complete that inning?
I think he did.
And then he comes back and throws a no-hitter against us later on after he was like, hey, I don't know, guys.
That is tough.
This is, have you seen Cary Carpenter's LinkedIn page?
No.
His LinkedIn page does have a quote. In high school, I worked many random jobs doing anything from power washing buildings. And then there's more to it, too. But yeah, he does still have his LinkedIn page.
Huh.
Have you guys updated your LinkedIn page lately?
I have not. I will tell you this, though. I do accept when people send me connection requests because I don't want things unfulfilled. Like you talked about, like doing the little training programs. I want my email inbox empty and I don't want things pending. So if people send me LinkedIn requests,
it just kills you.
Almost always just accept them.
All right. So, and then Cole Reagans goes out and pitches four innings. They were kind of stressful innings. He did it to himself. 24 pitches in the first two innings. He struggled. He admittedly struggled with his control a little bit. But he did say, and I like this, I felt like I made the pitches when I needed to.
Okay.
It's just the things that led up to it didn't let him go out there and pitch six innings, you know, and go on one of those type of heaters. But it was enough to keep the Yankees, you know, held back just enough so they could get a 4-2 win. However, Kevin, before... in between, because you were complaining about the in-between days.
True.
Cole Reagans went to throw the baseball around with one of his teammates, Sam Long. They played a little catch in Central Park.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
So they're going around. You got the Heckscher ball field, Central Park, all this going on, amateur baseball, softball players all hanging around out there, Little League playing. He said, I just found a little patch of grass there in the middle of Central Park, and me and Sam played a little catch out there for a little bit. And coaches said they like encouraged it. Look, we're not going to have any practices at the stadium. Y'all go out and do something else, figure it out. And they just took their gloves. I had a friend who would always have his glove in the back of his pants. He always had his glove. Yeah, he would just carry it around like he was Benny from Sandlot. He just always had in church. He'd just pull out his glove and be like, you want to play some catch? I'm like, this is church, buddy. We're not supposed to do that. What's the best place or the craziest place you've ever played catch?
Man, Central Park is pretty awesome.
Central Park's a pretty cool place because you got all the buildings in New York around you.
I don't know if this totally counts because we've done both baseball and football catch there at the drive-in movie theater.
I like that.
So
I like that.
Brandon and I, we would get there really early so you can like set up and get your snacks and stuff. And if there's not a lot of people around yet, then we would just like throw the football or throw the baseball around the dirt lot.
Nice.
So probably that.
Alec, you ever play some catch?
Probably the coolest place is probably Globe Life Field.
Yeah, that is an awesome place.
Other than that, it's just been like high school baseball fields. So that's pretty much it.
My buddy used to live across from us in an apartment complex, and we all lived on the third floors, and we would just throw the ball from floor to floor. We did break a few windows, but that was fun too. And then Wet n Wild. I don't know. It wasn't necessarily the glove.
Yeah.
But it was Scatch. Do you remember Scatch, the Velcro catch game that you would throw?
Oh, I do.
And that plastic piece would pop off.
I did not know that's what it was called.
That was always fun. We'd have that around. We'd play in the wave pool. Or every once in a while, we'd go up on a slide and try and sneak it on and be throwing the ball and see if we could beat it down the slide. So there you go. That is Baseball Buckets, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Plus, nobody cares about your fantasy football team, but today we do. So share those triumphs and heartbreak next on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.